This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Daboll is probably singing this right now to the Maras. Save my job. Do you love me? I did what you wanted me to do. And I can dance now that I've lost like 60 pounds. Meanwhile, they're probably saying, just win a game, please. Just win a game. Just want to know if you can coach us to a win. The New York Giants have benched Daniel Jones. Again, nobody should be surprised by that. Oh, by the way, Doug Peterson has not been fired yet. But he also says he has not met with owner Shad Khan yet. So we will see what comes out of that. The Cowboys have officially put Dak Prescott on IR, as was expected. I have no idea what took them as long as it did, but finally they did it. They play on Monday Night Football tonight against Houston. They are here this Sunday, so you'll get a team presumably off a loss, presumably beat up because they're going against a really aggressive defense, and Houston's also getting Nico Collins back. And on a short week with a fairly long travel, that's Sunday. We'll spend obviously more time on Dallas week throughout the week and the Cowboy-Washington rivalry and whether it's back and all that stuff. We'll start that with Doc tomorrow. For today, those are the headlines we're kind of working with, but I wanted to finish up on the Giants. There is a report from Jordan Schultz, one of the prominent NFL insiders. At Schultz underscore report is his Twitter handle. He said, according to sources, while ownership has suggested he'll return, there's a growing sense that Giants head coach Brian Daboll is coaching for his job over the final seven games. That's why, part of why, he chose Tommy DeVito over Drew Locke as the starting quarterback. More info. The relationship between Daniel Jones and the Giants has been described as, quote, a bit awkward, multiple sources say. Yeah, no kidding. Especially with the organization publicly exploring other quarterback options, including during Hard Knocks this past season. Remember, they were whining and dining might be a stretch. They were very interested in Jaden Daniels. And there was a lot of reports that they were trying to go from 6 to 3 after they couldn't get to 2. Quote, it was like flirting with someone new while your date is still at the table. One source said. All right, so the Giants are a mess. We know that. They benched Daniel Jones. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. The Giants didn't bench Daniel Jones just to win games. Like, they're saying that publicly. Like, they just want to win games, right? They're 2-8, whatever it is. They just want to win games. That's what they're saying. Again, what a team says and what a team does is often different. Not always, but often different. And in this case, I believe it's different. And I think the rest of the NFL world knows it's different. And here's what I mean by that. Daniel Jones, according to Tom Pelissero, and others have reported on this, but not maybe with the specifics that Pelissero had, so I'll give him credit, due $30.5 million in 2025, next year, with a $41.6 million cap number for basically a guy that you've benched and has been injury prone and has been inconsistent and has, you know, whatever. The Giants owe him no more cash, but guaranteed beyond this season if they release or trade him before March 16th of next year, which is probably a day or two before the league year starts. $12 million of his $23 million injury guarantee would convert to a full guarantee. Okay? So you have this $23 million injury guarantee. $12 million of it, if he's on the roster on March 16th, would basically be then guaranteed. And obviously that has salary cap implications and whatnot. If they trade him or they cut him with without a post-June 1st designation, that's a cap mechanism. Commanders have used it, obviously, on Landon Collins and others over the years. They'd carry a $22.21 million dead cap hit in 2025 if they trade him or cut him without the June 1st designation. So $22.2 million would be on their cap, even if he's not on the roster, which sounds high, but remember what what the Eagles did with Carson Wentz before somehow suckering Ron Rivera and the Commanders. And I realize he was in Indianapolis too, in between all that. But remember, the Eagles sat on like $34 million, and that was, 5 years ago now? There was another quarterback that was cut. I can't remember who it was. Russell Wilson, I think, with Denver, and the amount of money that they're sitting on their cap, in dead cap money, from the massive extension that they gave him, pre-Sean Payton, and they whacked him. And they're chewing that money. It's gone. It's gone. It's just the way the salary cap works. So if the Giants move on from Daniel Jones, as everybody expects, without a post-June 1st designation, which is problematic in and of itself, they'll basically have a $22.2 million dead cap hit in 2025. They'll save $19.39 million based on what he was due to count, 41.6. Again, stay with me on the math. If they cut him, meaning don't trade him but release him with a post-June 1st designation, which is a possibility, they'd carry $11.1 million next year, 2025. And in 2026, so it gets split over 2 years. Okay? Again, $22.2 million split over 2 years, $11.1 each year. And they'd have a savings on the 2025 cap of $30.5 million. So both options are in play. Again, you don't get to use that money until after June 1st, so you got to be careful about how you do it. So they're more likely, the Giants, just my guess, to take the full $22.2 million cap hit next year and not put a June 1st designation and move on and be done. And, you know, yes, it sucks to carry, to basically have 22.2 of your, let's just say, $255 million payroll tied up on a player that was a bad investment, a bad reinvestment, didn't work out, tried his best, couldn't stay healthy, couldn't be consistent, had some moments, didn't have enough, became a thorn in the side of the fan base. And maybe Brian Daboll's there, maybe he's not. Maybe Joe Shane's there, maybe he's not. Maybe they're both there, maybe they're both gone. Who knows? The bottom line is, that's what the Giants are looking at, because nobody sees a return of Daniel Jones to the lineup. And again, teams have to do this with these injury guarantees and agents that look and say, all right, if you're not going to guarantee me beyond this, we're going to build in this as a date, a potential out or a potential recommitment 2-3 years down the line, and basically say, okay, there's no guarantee for skill, but there's a guarantee for injury, or a guarantee basically because he's on the roster. And what teams don't want to do, and I remember this, when it had something to do with the fifth-year option with the Commanders or then the Redskins and Robert Griffin III, is you couldn't risk a quarterback playing, getting really severely hurt. And Daniel Jones has had lots of injuries and had a bad knee injury last year, midway through last year. and then they can't pass the physical, and then you're stuck with them on your roster, and then you have to give them all of this guaranteed cash. And in Jones's case, it's like $12 million, again, becomes fully guaranteed in terms of an injury guarantee. It goes from an injury guarantee to a full guarantee, and then you start getting more and more and more deeper in the woods in terms of the financial implications. So that's why Daniel Jones not going to play again. Now, Daniel Jones could get hurt at practice as the third string quarterback, as the emergency quarterback, right? As the scout team quarterback. Like, they're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. I presume Daniel Jones is not going to be the backup. I presume he's going to be the emergency quarterback, and therefore he's going to basically serve as Baker Mayfield. He could still get hurt, and the Giants could get screwed. But obviously the risk is lower when he's simply practicing and not even taking anywhere close to the full amount of snaps. He's taking basically card reps. He's trying to basically give a look to the Giants' defense and simulate what Baker Mayfield would actually feel like, look like, seem like on the other side of the aisle. Okay? So, again, I know this is a lot of salary cap semantics, but this is the absolute right thing for the Giants to do. Even though I have defended Daniel Jones from time to time, I've never sat here and told you that Daniel Jones is a great quarterback, very good quarterback, consistent quarterback. All I've said was he's not as bad as you guys think he is. And that is absolutely true. Daniel Jones is not being benched purely, exclusively, mostly because the Giants want to win or because the Giants think that Tommy Cutlets is better than Daniel Jones. He might be. And certainly gave them some juice in the arm last year. Remember, he came in here Sunday before Thanksgiving. Giant Commanders turned the ball over 5 times, but Tommy Cutlets won. Not the first meeting, the second meeting, the one here. They're not putting Tommy Cutlets into because they think he's so much better than Daniel Jones. Maybe they'll get a shot in the arm. That's what it's designed to do. But it is designed purely and mostly to prevent the team from being stuck with even more of a financial hit to their salary cap. That's the way these moves are made. And you will see it over and over and over and over and over again, year after year after year. You will see it with veteran guys on bigger contracts. Again, the Cleveland Browns would obviously, if they could figure out a way to get out of the Deshaun Watson thing, good luck. All they've done is become more stupid as they've gone along since originally signing a stupid contract. By deferring and pushing back Deshaun Watson's money, they now owe him they are now counting for $75 million each of the next 2 years under the cap. And when he's officially gone, and he might be gone before then, but when those 2 years of $75 million or $74 million and $75 million, I forget the exact numbers, it's right around there, are done, they still have to pay the next year, the third year from now, like a $30 million dead cap hit because of all of the structuring and the restructuring and the pushing back. Okay? So at some point, Deshaun Watson is not going to be able to play for the Cleveland Browns, not just because he sucks, but because they literally cannot afford to have him get injured, which he gets injured all the bleeping time.
Stupid is stupid does, Ms. Blue.
Exactly. And somehow the Browns won 11 games last year with 5 different quarterbacks. Now, this year, different story, right? Did you see what happened to them yesterday? Taysom Hill ran all over their dumbasses. I mean, all over. Like, yeah, let's take a 225-pound, 235-pound, you know, hybrid fullback, tight end, H-back, quarterback, running back, and let him run all over you. But the boys in Vegas had that one right. You know, everybody loves to throw out the boys in Vegas. Ah, the boys in Vegas knew exactly what was going on there. Look at that. X and Y team minus three, all that. They never say a word. They never say a word. When Cleveland somehow, never say a word. When Cleveland somehow was 1-point favorites when we picked that game on Friday. I don't remember where the game wound up because it's so utterly useless and meaningless. They were 1-point favorites, Cleveland was, on the road against New Orleans. And they lost 35-14. Notice how they don't say anything. They don't have anything to say. Oh, my God. The boys in Vegas got that one wrong.
I will say, the coin did me dirty this week. I don't know if you've taken a look at the pick-ems.
I haven't seen.
So far, with, of course, one game left, 3-10.
Oof.
The only saving grace is I have no say in the picks. I just either win or lose, but it still hurts. It hurts real. I saw as the coin was coming up, the first seven games, I was like, oh, I'm not going to get a single win in these.
Kornheiser's monkey would smash you this week.
This week?
Basically, if there was a competition, right?
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. I don't know how I did on my picks. I know I did. I know I hit some of them that
I think you actually are in the lead right now, 10-3.
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty smart. I know I picked San Francisco over Seattle, so I know that was a loss. But I did pick the Bills over Kansas City. I know I had that as a win. And I picked the Steelers over the Ravens. We picked that with the spread against the spread and the show and whatever. And again, it just goes to show you, like, the boys in Vegas know nothing. They know nothing. They had Cleveland as 1-point favorites on the road against New Orleans, and they got smashed 35-14 by Taysom Hill, who you should be able to tackle. No offense to Taysom Hill. He's great when he's healthy. But he's not a guy that should be running over you. And yet he does, usually in short-yarded situations. The only difference is, yesterday, if you watch any of that game, he ran all over the Browns and turned it into huge gains and huge carries. He had Taysom Hill, a 10-yard touchdown run, a 33-yard touchdown run, and wait for it, boys and girls. Wait. A 75-yard touchdown run. And wound up with 138 yards on 7 carries and 3 touchdowns. Hello. But the boys in Vegas, they know what they're doing. They know all. They know all. 221, Team 980. More NFL reaction if you want to hop in. I see some guys have jumped aboard. We'll try and squeeze you in as best we can as we kind of just bounce around the NFL and the things that interest me. One of them being some interesting and curious decisions by Raheem Morris and Kirk Cousins yesterday in a bad, bad loss for the Atlanta Falcons in Denver. And all of a sudden, the Bo Nixaholics are making some noise on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 226 right here on a Team 980 Motown Monday, baby. We'll take you up till 4 o'clock. No Craig Hoffman today. He's out for the first part of this week. I think he just ran a marathon over the weekend in Richmond, he was telling me about, and then I saw some pictures of. So kudos to him and his wife and, you know, all that good stuff. And we mentioned the Washington Spirit. We'll have a little on them coming up because that was an amazing, amazing atmosphere at Audi Field on Saturday afternoon and on television, and they are advancing to the NWSL Championship this Sunday night. And, of course, Craig is very involved with the Spirit and women's sports in general. So, you know, hope he's, getting some time to digest and all of that good stuff. Obviously, with the Commanders not playing a game, take a couple of days off. We are going to be not here on Wednesday. Trust me, I wish it was for good reasons. It's not. I got to get my mouth drilled out and some procedure done at 7 o'clock in the morning, which is just god-awful. And then I've got an appointment for something that men have to do. Something that men have to do that men don't want to do. It's like right during the middle of the show. Hey, sir, we only have one appointment over the next 5 months, and it's 1:30 on Wednesday. So I have to take the day off. So Doc will be in. And by the way, Doc will be here tomorrow as well. So look forward to that. We'll start, obviously, looking at Dallas week and everything in between. All right. So real quickly, I wanted to get to this. And I'll just say it like this. First of all, that was a hideously awful performance by the Atlanta Falcons yesterday in Denver. The score tells you that. Everything kind of tells you that, 38-6. I think we picked that game, if I'm not mistaken, on Friday. I think it was 2.5. I have to double-check that. In favor of the Broncos, and some people thought the Falcons were going to win. Broncos were 5-5 going in. The Falcons were 6-4 going in, and what have you. And then the Avalanche hit. Not the Colorado Avalanche. But the Avalanche hit the Atlanta Falcons. There were two besides how terrible the loss was, and again, there's no way to sugarcoat it, 38-6. Tough place to play. Broncos are an improving team. Again, Bo Nix, 28-33, 307, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, a 145 rating, and all of a sudden people are starting to chirp. Hey, man, him and Drake May, they are closing the door on Jaden Daniels in terms of Rookie of the Year and all that. So I don't care about Rookie of the Year. It is what it is. Just an award, whatever. I mean, it means really nothing to me. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point. But a lot of people were chirping about it yesterday. But the two decisions that I wanted to bring up. One, Kirk Cousins at the end of the first half and the Falcons and Raheem Morris and their offensive coordinator who's a Sean McVay disciple, I forgot his name, Zach Robinson, I think it is. They were at their own 49-yard line. Their own 49-yard line. And they chose to throw an out pattern on the final play of the second quarter with no timeouts left. They chose to throw an out pattern with no timeouts left. Let me repeat that again, just so everybody understands. With no timeouts, instead of, and this is from their 49-yard line, from the Atlanta 49-yard line, okay? To Drake London, who couldn't get out of bounds with, there was 10 seconds left on the clock when the play started. So you should have been able to get two plays, but again, you had no timeouts. They're trying to get a little bit closer. But again, everybody bitched and moaned that the Commanders did not throw a Hail Mary at the end of the first half in Philadelphia. Jaden Daniels is hurt. Well, not really. It's an extremely low percentage play. But it's even more low percentage if you're the Falcons and you don't have any timeouts. Because if you don't hit it just right, you're not going to be able to get a second playoff. And they didn't hit it right. Sure, they completed the pass. Sure, it was near the sideline. Sure, it was complete for 19 yards. But Drake London could get out of bounds. They had no timeouts. So it made way less sense to run that decision. Yet they still did it. And whether that's a Kirk decision, whether that's the OC, whether that's the head coach, Raheem Morris, I don't know. But the bottom line is they didn't Hail Mary it. Okay? They tried to run two plays without a timeout. You see what I'm saying? The Commanders were at their 48-yard, so one more yard, and I think they still had a timeout, and they didn't run a Hail Mary. And everybody said, well, see, that proves that Jaden Daniels is hurt. Because otherwise they should have just run the Hail Mary. Well, not every team believes in a desperate heave. You do desperate heaves when you have no other choice. Again, I disagree with how the Falcons operated because, again, if you don't get out of bounds, you're screwed. But I totally understand kind of the strategic nature of it where you have a quarterback who's presumably healthy who doesn't heave it 50-plus yards in the air hoping for a miracle you're trying to strategize better so you get into field goal range, which they probably should have if they would have executed it right. Instead, they didn't execute it right. They did not execute it right. And obviously, that's a, you know, that's bad, clearly. But it, again, not every team thinks, oh, well, we've got one play left in the half. Let's just heave it and hope for a miracle. Not every team operates like that. Again, there's a little bit of a difference. 10 seconds, what have you. I get it. I get it. My point being is Kirk Cousins is presumably healthy, right? I mean, the Achilles probably not bothering him much anymore. He's got a strong enough arm to heave it 55, 60 yards in the air. Almost every quarterback does. Even for crying out loud, even Taylor Heineke did. They didn't. There was one other confusing, for me, perplexing decision that Raheem Morris made yesterday. I'll tackle that next on the other side of a trending alert right here, right now, and then we'll get to your calls as well. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, after a quick, again, trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, around the NFL, as we told you, the Giants have decided to bench Daniel Jones, but instead of going to Drew Lock, who's served as their primary backup all year, they're going to go to Tommy DeVito, or Tommy Cutlets, who started a bunch of games and, of course, won a game here in Washington last year for the New York Giants when Jones was knocked out with the torn ACL. The Giants, of course, stand to benefit from a salary cap perspective if Daniel Jones remains healthy. So certainly that is part of the mix. Meanwhile, tonight, Monday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys, who are here this Sunday in Landover, are 3-6, and they're hosting the Houston Texans at 6-4. No local radio coverage of the game, but you can watch it, of course, on ESPN and ABC, beginning at 8:15. Meanwhile, that's because we have the Wizards and the New York Knicks at MSG right here on the Team 980. The Wiz have lost 8 in a row, 2-10. The Knicks 7-6. Again, you can catch the pregame action beginning at 7:15. The call just after 7:30. Here on the Team 980, and the Capitals, off of a hat trick by Alex Ovechkin and back-to-back wins in Colorado and Vegas, try and make it a perfect road trip by sweeping away the new Utah Hockey Club. 9 o'clock puck drop, 106.7 The Fan for that one. 8:45 the pregame coverage, and that's what's trending. All right, we got to knock down some phone calls here. I haven't mentioned the Steelers and the Ravens. I'm saving that for the Birdman, who's coming up here in just a couple of moments. That was a whale of a game with a lot of twists and turns and a lot of things coming up. And out of that game, obviously, we have a long way to go before the end of the work week and the end of the show week, so we will have plenty of time to mix in thoughts on all of these games. Let's get back out to it on the phone, or let's get to it, I should say, on the phones. Let's get to Mark in Springfield, our guy. What's up, Mark? How are you, pal?
Good afternoon, Chris Russell, the Rooster.
Always sir.
Always a pleasure to talk to the hardest working man in sports talk radio.
I appreciate you as always, but as I always mention, I'm trying to work less hard as I get older. I mean, I would say this. Me falling asleep during the last minutes of the Chargers-Bengals game last night, it should be all the indication you need of me being an old man and not being able to carry the amount of hours that I used to carry. But I appreciate you either way.
You're still a spring chicken, Rooster. You know that. Hey, anybody can find cheap hamburgers good with me.
There you go. There you go. All right. Who doesn't need a cheap hamburger?
A couple of things. I pretty much agree with everything you said. Let's talk about Danny and the Giants. I pretty much agree with everything that you said. And nobody wants to get a quarterback out there who's got an injury clause and get injured, so that they then have no option to trade him or cut him, and they have a full injury settlement. So I agree, he's probably done with the Giants as such. However, I also think there's going to be no coaching staff left over from this year, next year.
You mean with the Giants, you mean? Dable and his staff out.
They're all gone. They're mm-hmm. all gone. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen much in the OC coordinating position that's impressed me, using Danny to his full potential. But he does have moments, and he makes some great passes, and he does pretty well when he actually has a left tackle who's playing mm-hmm. and a little bit of offensive line and a little bit of defense. Mm-hmm. So it's very possible maybe the next coaching people that are coming in says, you know, not sure who we're going to get in the draft who's going to be there, but we can hold on to him and bring him in for OTAs and workouts and all that kind of stuff. We can maybe build around him. We'll get our tackle back. Maybe we can add an offensive guard right and left side, which I think they need. Maybe we can get a little bit on defense to help out. And let's see if we can at least get him serviceable for 1 year, because we're already on the hook for the money unless we cut him. And then maybe the next year we can kind of build around him too. And at the very least, maybe, I mean, he'll be a very serviceable backup. I don't see any reason if he went into a good situation, like if he was a backup in Pittsburgh mm-hmm. or he was a backup in some place that they had a real team, I'm convinced that he's put it on a dime before, and I think he could do it again.
Absolutely.
But he's not going to be able to do it by himself.
No, and no quarterback for the most part can, right? And I would say this, Daniel Jones absolutely can help another team. The reason why he, of course, won't be able to stay with the Giants is because of how prohibitive the contract is, and this is what happens when you do these big contract extensions and guys get hurt or they struggle or suffer or whatever, or both, and often they're both combined with one. So he'll be free to go somewhere else. Could he wind up here as the backup quarterback?
Well, with the backup, you never know. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen anybody who could beat him out as such.
I mean, Marcus Mariota's, only on a one-year deal, right? I mean, there's no guarantee that he's not going to want to go to a better situation or a different situation. You know, I don't know.
I'd be happy with Danny as a number two or three.
Yeah, especially if you don't ever have to face him. Yeah, because he's torched. he's torched the Washington defense by any name. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I appreciate you, Mark. Thank you as always. Good to hear from you, my friend. Have yourself
a
great start to the week. Appreciate Mark as always. All right, here he is. The Birdman wants to talk about how his Ravens gagged one up yesterday in the Berg. What's up, Birdie? How are you?
You know, Chris, every time I come on your show, I just drop wisdom. You know, earlier in the year, I told you Daniel Jones sucked.
Yep.
And now the Giants finally figured it out.
Right. And it's solely because he sucks, correct, as to why he's getting benched.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It has nothing at all to do with his stud left tackle has been missing the last month. Nothing to do with
it. I mean, just look at his numbers, Chris.
Nothing to do with
his numbers even from last year.
Nothing to do with the fact that Malik Nabers missed three games, right? Nothing to do with that, right?
It's three games. Look at his numbers over a period of time.
Yeah, they're not good enough.
From when he signed that contract.
Right. Well, I mean, he was hurt all of last year. I mean, not all of last year, but much of last year. Yes, he was not very good last year when he was playing. But
he was very good this year.
I understand that. I'm not saying that he was great or very good or anything. What I'm saying is he's not purely being benched because he sucks.
He's being benched because
they signed him to a contract extension because he had a great year in the first year of a new regime. The new regime bought in. And for anybody that tells me, oh, we knew better than Brian Daboll or Joe. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. They had no choice. He played well for them in their system. It was year one of a regime, and they all got caught up. And if he would have stayed healthy, and if they would have been able to support him, and if Andrew Thomas wouldn't have been constantly hurt as he has the last 2 years, they would have absolutely reaped the benefits of that decision, but we'll never know.
Just say it with me, Chris. Birdie, you are right again.
Birdie? Talk about the Ravens, something you actually do know.
So here's the problem with the Ravens yesterday. And I want to be very honest, Chris. And before I say this, let me finish, because you're probably going to go off on a tangent. Wins and losses are handled by the quarterback and the head coach. That's who they're pinned on. Now, if the Ravens cannot figure out how to get over the hurdle of Kansas City and or Pittsburgh, Lamar's not going anywhere. And, you know, I pinned this loss. Now, yes, the coaching is not out there kicking missed field goals and everything else. But I do pin the penalties, which has been a very, very huge problem ever since I can remember on the Ravens, on coaching. I also blame the play calling on the coaching. There is no way in the world that Derrick Henry had 13 touches all game for 65 yards, including he got the ball five times in the final 31 minutes, mm-hmm. which is 26 plays. And he didn't have the ball not once in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That's on the coaching.
And obviously not on the two-point conversion, which everybody is correctly making a big deal out of. Right.
So, that's my thought on it. They need to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I would say this, right? I mean, clearly Lamar was frustrated after the game. He talked about, every time, against these big opponents, mistakes, penalties, this, that, and the other thing. That's one. Derrick Henry's saying all the right things, but I'm sure he's furious that he didn't get an opportunity, right? You lose a two-point game on the road in division when they're missing one of their best pass rushers, and you feel like, oh, my God. Goodness, if we would have done one of these things right, if we would have given him one more chance, maybe we win that game. Maybe we're forcing overtime. Instead, we did none of it and committed the 12 penalties and the turnover. And so, ultimately, does that fall on Harbaugh? Yeah. I mean, because they did enough right to be right there and to have a chance of it at least extending into overtime, and they did none of it.
If you had told me going into that game that Pittsburgh would not have an offensive touchdown, mm-hmm. I would have said, I bet you $100 of my winnings that I had yesterday. Which
By the way, congratulations, on that. How much did you win? Yeah. What, $1,300 on a $1 bet?
$1.50 bet, $1,300.
Yeah, $1,300. Well, you can take me out to dinner again next time when I come up to Baltimore, okay?
Yeah. You know, Matty Ice is sleeping in there. I thought I could get a woo from that, I mean, what the hell, Matt?
There you go. I mean, you're the only person I know that could bet $1.50 and walk away with $1,300. I mean, I could bet $50 and I would walk away with, less money than that. I would walk away with negative 100. I mean, my goodness.
Because again, Chris, I'm right about everything.
Well, okay. Well, why don't we just end that conversation right now? Love you, man. Appreciate you.
Good luck to
you, Ravens. Yeah, exactly. Appreciate the Birdman. Glad he's feeling a little bit better. Yeah, I don't understand. Zay Flowers scores that touchdown, right? I mean, there were so many twists and turns in that game. Obviously, they had the one turnover to Justice Hill on the pass along the sideline that Patrick Queen rips out. Queen had a big holding penalty that wiped out a sack that led to a Ravens touchdown in the second quarter. That was the Derrick Henry touchdown. I mean, I don't know how you have a game where you have Derrick Henry, who's presumably built for these type of games, right? Look, we all killed Cliff Kingsbury when the Commanders basically didn't run the ball against the Steelers, right? And that was without Brian Robinson. Well, here you have Derrick Henry, and once again, much like it was in the playoff game, only I guess maybe not as bad in the championship game against Kansas City, the Ravens just decide, no thanks. We don't need to run. We don't have to worry about that. Jay Gruden coming up next. We'll ask him if he can make any sense, head or tails, about that. Actually, we'll come back for a minute.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Or two on the other side. Stay with us, Jay, just after 3 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, Jay Gruden coming up in just a couple of minutes. We got a quick minute or two here. Let's go to Mitch in Jersey, right here on the Team 980. Mitch, how are you?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, Mitch?
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Still trying to learn his phone.
Mitch, you have the world's worst phone in the history of mankind. I have no idea what kind of phone do you have, Mitch? This is fascinating.
It's an iPhone.
It's an Apple product. You mean?
Yes.
Okay. I just want that noted on the record. Okay. Gives me the middle finger because everybody thinks that I'm the crazy one for liking Android over Apple. But anyway, I'm not crazy. I'm just right.
I believe it. Well, the previous quote says he's always right, so that makes you always wrong.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. Something like that.
And I got rid of the landline, and then, of course, you know, $600, $700, those phones that they used to buy at Best Buy or Walmart.
I got you.
Some games that say, I think the prognosticators never thought that Washington, Minnesota, and the Cardinals will be in the driver's seat to make the playoffs. And isn't it kind of like sad? Well, forget about the Cowboys. But the 49ers losing to Geno Smith?
Listen, it happens. It's a division game. They beat Geno Smith and the Seahawks in Seattle a couple of Thursday nights ago, right? Like teams lose at home and they lose to other quarterbacks. I mean, Geno Smith's had a pretty good 2.5-year run. By the way, do you know who his offensive coordinator was previous to this year in Seattle?
I don't know. I know he's an ex-Jeff in West Virginia. Who?
It was Shane Waldron, the guy that the Bears completely kicked to the curb and kicked in the nuts and thought was like the worst offensive coordinator alive on planet Earth. I don't know. Things don't make a whole lot of sense to me. There's a lot of things that don't make sense to me. We got to run, Mitch. I'm sorry. I tried to squeeze you in so that you didn't have to sit on hold because I don't think we're going to be able to get to any more calls. On the other side of Jay Gruden, we still have cleanup on aisle three. We still have Dumb Dumb of the Day. We still have Jay Gruden next. Get his thoughts on all of the NFL action and what's wrong with Jaden Daniels next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.